Amen, 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 amen. my name is Matthew, everybody. I am married to the beautiful Jean, who's here in the front row. I'm not just married, I am a son. My parents are here as well. Shout out to the parents. How's it, parents? They're here. They're here. I'm a deacon and a comm leader in this congregation. And I have been in Josh Gen for a very long time now. Since some of you before you were in university, probably. So before you were in primary school, some of you, yeah. And kind of what today is coming out of is a lot of stuff that the Lord has been doing in my own heart over the past few years. Wait, I'm going to put a timer on just so that I have an idea of where I am. So a lot of this is coming out of what the Lord has been doing in my own heart, of how to actually let the Holy Spirit in to shape and mold me and to make me more like Jesus. And that's an internal thing that's been happening in my heart. Somebody this morning said, I look like Jesus on the outside, but it's actually the inside that I'm going for. Actually, me, Devolt, and Joshuan, we were all going to go audition for The Chosen. Tepa was going to come with us. He was going to go for Jesus, actually, but the part was already taken, so none of us got in, unfortunately. But really, part of becoming a Christian is letting the Lord into your heart and letting Him change you on the inside. It's not about an outward thing, but it's about an inward transformation that changes who we are. And that is why we are doing Let the Holy Spirit In. You know me, I love my PowerPoint presentation. So here we are. You can go to that next slide. So I'm going to start off just talking about explaining what our hearts actually, how they work. This is something that I discovered recently, that emotions and feelings are different things, okay? I was listening to a podcast that Christine did, which was really great, which would actually be a great follow-up to this as well. But there is a difference. Emotions are those things that your body automatically feels when something happens, whether it's fear, anger, joy, surprise. Something happens and you feel it in your body, okay? Feelings are different. That's your awareness. It's your interpretation of that emotion, of what has happened. An example of that might be, and it's often linked to your thoughts. Your thoughts, what's going on inside your mind, is what's going to influence the things that you're feeling. So if you've got a test coming up, and you're worried that you are not going to make it, the thought that's going on in your mind is, jeepers, I'm not going to make it through this test. That might be why you're feeling a little bit of anxiety. That's now feelings that are coming in. All that being said, okay, I'm going to use the words interchangeably because I'm not a counselor. I'm not a psychologist. I don't really know the difference in practice as I'm speaking. So I'm going to say you feel emotions, you know, because for me, it's all pretty much the same thing, but they are different. Okay, you can go to that next slide there. Jesus himself, would you believe, actually felt emotions. Why is this important? It's because Jesus was the exact imprint of God's nature, right? So the way that Jesus responded to things, the way that he dealt with his environment, he was reflecting God's character and his nature. And we ourselves have emotional experiences because we're made in God's image, okay? So it's actually a part of how God has made us and can be something that's really useful. So a couple of examples, Jesus felt joy in Luke 10:21. At that time, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and declared. Now, a lot of the times people will read the Bible, especially if you've got the ESV, the audio Bible, the guy's voice is like, at that time, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and declared, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I think there was maybe a little bit more excitement in his voice. I praise you, Father. Okay? He experienced love as well. He had genuine friends. He's talking to his disciples here, as I've loved you, so you must also love other people. If they didn't experience Jesus' love, how are they going to go now love people? He experienced that. He also had grief. Okay? This is a situation here in John 11 where it was talking about one of his best friends, Lazarus, who had just passed away, and he just turned up at the funeral. And when he saw, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping, this is his friend Lazarus' sister, and the Jews who had also come with her weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, and Jesus wept. Okay, so Jesus felt sadness. He felt grief as well. Another little one that popped into my head is he felt rejection, right? If you think about on the cross, just before he got there, he's saying to all of his disciples, these are his best mates, right? These 12 guys, ride or die. Even Peter was like, you know, I'll never forsake you. And the guys come up to him in the garden, all his disciples, they're gone. And then Peter, he's there in the jail cell, okay? And Peter's like, no, I don't know who the guy is. I don't know who it is. And the one gospel, it says, when he said it the third time, I don't know who Jesus is. Like, Jesus looked at him. What do you think was going on in his heart at that time? Like his one of his best mates just actually rejected him. And so he felt that as well. But he also felt some more complex emotions, if you go to that next one there, which some of us might be uncomfortable thinking that Jesus maybe felt these, okay? He felt anger. This is a situation where some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them in Mark 10:13, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering them. Guys, please don't bring your children here. We're here busy preaching, all right? When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples, and he said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. Another translation says he was indignant with them. Like, guys, what's going on? What are you doing here? Why would you stop children from coming to me? And that's talking about his disciples. Jesus was upset with them, okay? That might make some of us feel uncomfortable. But the thing is, and what I'm trying to show here, and now even the next one in Revelations 2:6, this is Jesus speaking again. He's speaking to one of the churches, and he just tuned them for a whole bunch of things that they were missing. But then he says, but you have this in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans, just as I do. He's talking about, he's like, no, I just got to give you one up for something. At least you hate these dudes. So he's talking about that in like a positive sense and saying that he himself has hate. And what he's talking about, the Nicolaitans, was these guys who had this false teaching. It was driving people actually away from God, but making them think that they knew him. Jesus hates that. He wants people to really know God. And why I am expressing all of this stuff is that there is a range of emotions that we feel as people, and the emotions themselves, I don't think it's sinful to feel emotion, but what emotion does is it shows what is actually inside your heart, okay? The problem is not the emotion. The problem is your heart at the end of the day, okay? So it's a good thing to be able to feel your emotions and to be able to start to engage with them and to grapple with them. Let us go to that next slide there. So the purpose of emotions, they're not good or evil in themselves, I think, even though some of us have some very bad connotations with certain emotions, maybe from people going overboard. Maybe there's someone in your life who was really bad with anger, and so you're like, no, anger's just, you know, there's no place for it. It's always sinful. I don't think they're good or evil in themselves, but they're indicators. They're helpful tools. And what we do with our emotions matter. So that's why even in Scripture it says, in your anger, don't sin. Okay? So you can be angry without sinning. So it's a tool. It's a tool to help you to understand what's going on. And our emotions, like I said, they reveal what's in our heart. They don't reveal what we should do. If you use your emotions as your compass, okay, you got to think about them more as your engine light than your GPS, okay? I don't even know how you would use an engine light as a GPS. But if you're being led by your emotions, if you're following the Disney mantra of follow your heart, you know, you're going to get yourself into some very difficult situations and ultimately probably lead yourself away from the Lord, because at the end of the day, our hearts are influenced, they're influenced by like inherent sinful desires that we've got. So our tendency is not towards God most of the time. It's towards sin. So even if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, he's done so much in you, you can, if you give yourself over to sin, you can fall away from the Lord. Like, and you've got to be humble about that and realize that your emotions can't be your guide. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. So part of this is taking our emotions, taking the things that we feel, and not letting those drive us, letting the Holy Spirit guide us with what to do with our emotions. Okay? So that is the difference. Now, why am I talking about all this stuff going on in our heart? Why is it that important? If you go to that next little slide over there, it's actually God's promise for us. Ezekiel 36:25-28 says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. So, Old Testament, there was a whole bunch of rules and regulations that everybody had to follow. It was an outward showing of what righteousness should be. But the promise that God has got for us here, a new heart and a new spirit, it's actually from the inside. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to do those things. And my behavior, ultimately, like Jesus said to the Pharisees, it's not what goes into your body that defiles you. It's what comes out, you know. That it's out of your heart that evil thoughts and murder and jealousies and all these things come out. It's from our heart. And so as you're maturing with Jesus, it's not about trying to fit into some cultural mold. It's about letting him transform you from the inside out. So that's God's promise for us. Now, when it comes to starting to understand our own hearts, you can go to that next one there, Rach. There are two kind of there's a spectrum of how people engage with their emotions, okay? On the one side, you've got the troubled reflectors, okay? We've got our thinker over here. These are the guys who, when something bad happens in your life, you're going to wallow in that emotion, okay? It's, oh, my goodness, my, I don't know, something happened. You know a troubled reflector when you see them because their emotion is always here. It's like a cloud around them. On the other side, you have got shallow copers, okay? Shallow copers will do anything and everything in their power to not engage with their emotions, okay? And I see this a lot, obviously being a comm leader, I mean, get involved in a lot of people's lives. It can go like this on a Wednesday night. This can be a conversation with a shallow coper. So, hey, bro, how's it going? How was the week? Yeah, I know, bro. God's good. God's very good. Yeah, so how was your week? What happened? Yeah, no, well, actually, yesterday I lost my job. And then this morning, as I was going out to my car, my cat ran out into the road, and some dude swerved, hit my cat, and then hit my car as well. So, oh, my gosh, that's terrible. That's terrible. No, but yeah, God's still good. God's still good. Okay, well, like, but how are you feeling about everything? Well, now that you mention it, I have got a feeling. That tonight's gonna be a good night. There's just no engagement. On the other side, the troubled reflectors, how that conversation would go on a Wednesday evening is it actually maybe wouldn't happen. They would send you a 13-minute voice note and they would have gone home to their parents to rest for the week after something like that happened. So that's kind of the spectrum of where it goes. And why I'm bringing this up is it's helpful to know how you naturally respond to things, okay? I would advise you not to try and diagnose yourself. I won't say troubled reflectors, put up your hands. What I'll say is if you think your friend is a troubled reflector, put up their hand, okay? If you think your friend is a shallow coper, put up their hand, you know? It's often easier. I thought I was a shallow coper. Jean's like, no, you're 100% troubled reflector. So it's good. It's good to know that so that you can start to shift yourself accordingly. So what I'm going to talk about now is how to actually process your emotions. And for the shallow copers, what that looks like is, when we used to have load shedding, I was in an office building one time with a whole bunch of air cons going. There's a like, poo in the background. There's just that sound. And load shedding hit, and suddenly everything went quiet. Okay? For shallow copers, a lot of you guys have got used to just a background noise. And you're like, I'm just pretending it's not there. Okay? But when you start to process and engage with the Lord, process your emotions, suddenly things actually become quiet and peaceful. And that's a beautiful thing. And for the troubled reflectors, where, you know, you can imagine it like a garden where, like, there's maybe one tree that's totally overgrown everything else. And that is like, it's making shade for the other plants. They can't get life. And just coming and trimming that thing back so that you can have balance in your life. Although you're feeling your emotions, it's feeding everything in a good balance. Okay, so that's why we're doing this. So why process your emotions? Okay, like I was saying, you got to think about your heart like a garden. There's things, good things that can grow there. There's weeds that can grow there, and you got to take time to tend it. Actually, throughout your Christian life, it's not a once-off thing. A lot of this for me came out of when we did power through position. But the thing is, you can't do power through position every week. And so this for me came out of how can I continue to steward my heart with the Lord without having to wait for these like big power moments here and there. So why it's helpful to process your emotions is, number one, you can actually deal with sin. As you find something in your heart, rather than just leaving it there or just worrying about it, you can deal with it and do something about it. So that's very, very helpful. It's also helpful to, it's easier to be led by the Spirit. So when you let the Lord in and you're feeling all of your emotions or not feeling your emotions, you can let the Lord actually lead you in the decisions that you're making in your life. So then what you're making decisions of is out of faith, not out of feelings or your flesh or whatever else, but you're making faith decisions. So that's why you spend a bit of time actually thinking about what you need or what's going on inside you. It also helps you to recognize your needs. Now, a lot of times, if you're not giving yourself space to actually see how you're doing, people can get to spaces where it's like, I don't know how I got to the place where I am right now. Or people will get into really unhealthy coping mechanisms or addictions and sins and things like that. But at the end of the day, a lot of that stuff actually comes out of not processing what's on the inside. We need to have a space as humans to face life and to face difficult things that we're going through and to find like comfort and care and grace through those things. And so if you can recognize your needs, you can also find healthy coping mechanisms, not just falling into whatever things, you know. So things like finding God's presence, like worshiping, you having that space with Jesus, spending time in the Word, fellowship. If you're feeling lonely, like, find some Christians, go hang out with some people, you know. But now, once you're processing, you're thinking about doing these things, not just falling into whatever life is happening. And obviously, the normals of exercise, sleep, and eat. When it's exam season, it's easy to forget all three of those. But a lot of meltdowns in life can be avoided with a nap and a snack. So, okay. Also, it helps to maintain healthy relationships with God and with people. It's easy, because we're all people, it's easy to offend one another. And some people are really good at just going up and be like, hey, bro, like, what you did really hurt my feelings, actually. But some people are really not good at that. And somebody will offend you, and it just will stick in your heart, and it's been like 3 weeks or 3 years or 13 years, and you've never actually dealt with that thing. But if you can actually process your emotions, see your heart, work through it with the Lord, it'll give you an opportunity now, like, I'm actually going to work this thing out. And why I said maintain your relationship with God and with people is sometimes you can get offended with God, you know, not that he's actually done anything wrong at the end of the day, but we can take offense, and then there's this block in your heart for seeing the Lord. I'm still doing all the Christian duties, I'm doing all the things, but your heart is totally away. Sometimes it's good to have a real, raw, honest conversation and be like, God, I'm disappointed with how things turned out. Does it sound strange to say that, to have a conversation with God like that? Lord, I thought you were going to show up in a different way. I thought things were going to go differently. But to have a real conversation with God and to start to hear his heart, not just to keep it to yourself. Then you also learn God's heart for yourself and for others. This is especially helpful if you are a comm leader or in some sort of leadership or even just discipling your friends. Because when people come to you with things and you're guiding someone in the Lord, you're speaking into their life, like, God, at different times, he deals with people in different ways. Sometimes, like if you look at Israel, across their whole history, there were times where he was coming with gentleness. And he was, no, come, we're going to, like, I'll help you. There's other times where he's like, if you don't turn around right now, you know. And so you got to know, as you're dealing with people, like, what is God's heart for this person right now? Do they need a rebuke? Do they need just a gentle word? Sometimes if you're getting discipled by me and John at the same time, you might get both in the same sitting, right? You might get both in the same sitting. So who's it true? Last thing is it actually helps to replace lies with truth. So a lot of the times we can get into mind, like, patterns in our mind. Sometimes we're talking about the demonic coming and influencing us in negative ways. Sometimes we start to believe lies about ourselves, about God, about other people. And if you take a minute to take stock of what you actually think, sometimes you can address that and replace it with what the Word of God says. That's called renewing your mind. So you can go to that next slide there, Rachel. It also will prevent and evict the demonic, okay? Hardy dogs are not inherently demonic, but I do not like them, okay? Maybe they are. So if there's that thing in your heart, so let's explain how this comes into it, right? To use an illustration, so we have a tree species in South Africa called a yellowwood, okay? Beautiful tree, protected tree. Don't cut it without getting a certificate. Don't move it. Don't even look at it in the wrong direction. Okay, it's a very protected tree. But if you have one by your house, it'll bring something else, which is this very specific species of fruit bat, which eats the fruit of that tree, and it will absolutely poop over your entire house. Okay, so when we let certain things, sins, into our life and into our heart, like unforgiveness, for example, let's call that yellowwood tree. Okay, that thing brings a whole bunch of other things with it. Okay, those bats that are coming and sweeping in, let's call that rage, for example, you know, or the inability to let things go, right? So you might see all the poop on the wall, okay? You might see the rage and the results of all those things. The demonic will often, I think, overemphasize things. So anger is normal, but rage is something different. Someone cuts in front of you in traffic, and you're not just like, oh, bro, you're angry with that person, okay? And that is now an opportunity, like, we don't actually have to stay with that stuff, right? If you uproot that tree, now you're not going for the fruit, you're not trying to chase away the bat, although we are trying to get rid of the bat. If you take out the tree, you get rid of that unforgiveness, okay? You get rid of that self-pity, you get rid of whatever it is that's in your heart, you can you can sometimes do deliverance on yourself in your quiet time. You know, you don't have to wait for a Sunday for that. It'll always be room for it on a Sunday. But a lot of things that we deal with, we can actually, there with the Holy Spirit, you can let things go. You can let things go. You can find God. You can unroot that stuff, and you can actually move on. So I want to encourage you with that, is that, like, opening your heart to the Lord, He is going to clean it. He is going to clarify it. And then no more hearty does. Please show that next slide. Please show that next slide. There. No more hearty does. Okay? Okay, let's go on to the next one. Let's talk about some hows. How do we actually do this? All right? So, this is from Ephesians. It says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So we all have known people who've got an outside facade, but inside are a little bit different. That's called hypocrisy. The outside and the inside doesn't match. But here, we're saying we're supposed to put on our new nature, which is truly righteous and holy. That's all the way into your heart. And this is not a self-effort thing of, I'm going to do my best to do whatever. It's actually something that you open your heart, you yield to the Spirit to let him do in you. Okay, so that's what's important here, is letting the Spirit actually do it in your heart. Now, I'm going to explain to you guys how I've actually been doing this. And so you can go to that next slide over there. And one of the ways I do it is with an emotions chart, which is helpful because this is kind of the factory setting that most guys come with. Hungry, not hungry, one go-karting, lost go-karting. Okay, put a little one in there for Aiden as well, supports Man United. Dad joke, Umuch. Actually, can we just give a thumbs up to the Man United supporters? Those guys have got endurance, hey? They've been through a lot. When persecution comes, they're not going to be worried. They're going to be like, I've been through this already. People of character. People of character, honestly. A lot of guys, this is the factory setting of my emotions. If you ask them what they're feeling, it'll probably be one of these answers. So what I do is I'll take a little bit of time. I'll do this once or twice a week. Rach, you can show that next slide. And I'll sit with something like a chart with a whole bunch of emotions on it. Christine showed me this one where it's like a wheel, where it's got a whole bunch of things. But personally, I like something with faces because I almost relate more to the faces than the words themselves. But what I'll do is I'll sit and I'll go, okay, what am I actually feeling right now? And like I was saying earlier, what's really important is to be raw and honest, not the feelings that you think you should be having as a Christian, but what you're actually feeling. And why it's important to be raw and honest is because then you're letting the Holy Spirit really into your heart and where you're really at, okay? Remember, the emotion is not the problem. It's what sin is maybe in your heart. And if you're feeling things like, oh, I'm feeling envious, okay, well then, great. Now we can address it. Now we can do something about it. But you have to admit that in order to do something about it. So being raw and honest is very important with this. And it's you and the Lord who's talking together. And he actually knows what's going on anyway. You can't actually hide from Jesus. So identify, what am I feeling? Sometimes it's a smattering of a whole bunch of things, positive and negative. And then important is, what is the thought behind that? You want to see what, you know, I was talking about, I'm feeling anxious earlier because I've got a test coming up. I don't know if I'm going to pass. Well, now I can go, oh, but Jesus, I want you to help me. Please help me. Please give me peace. Now we can start to do something about it. So you can go to that next slide there. So after you've identified your emotions and started to see, like, why am I actually feeling the things that I'm feeling? You can start to apply, now what does the word say about this? Obviously, this assumes that you're reading your Bible in the first place, which is important. If you're trying to process your emotions without reading scripture, it's very easy to go very skew. It's very easy. So you want to have you're reading the Bible anyway, especially New Testaments, a lot of the letters, Paul talks directly into, treat one another like this, love one another like this, don't let this be in your heart. So you need to be having that in so that you actually have the word to guide you. And then what is the Spirit saying to me in this as well? Spirit will never contradict the word. Side note. So if you engaged in some other sin and you feel like, actually, you know what? The problem is that I'm feeling guilty, but actually I shouldn't because this isn't a sin. It's not the Holy Spirit. Okay. It's not the Holy Spirit. So then what you do is you want to see, now how can I respond to this? So you've identified your emotions. You know what you're feeling. You know what the word says. Do I need to repent for something? Do I need to forgive someone? Do I need to reconcile with someone? Do I need to renounce an agreement with a lie or an inner vow? You know, have I started to believe something that's not true, that is having a terrible influence on my life and my relationship with others and with the Lord? Do you need to give thanks or celebrate? I think that's something that is also very important when amazing things have happened in your life, to take stock, to recognize that. Do you need to seek God's comfort and peace? And do you need to seek help if that's needed? Now, some people will, every time they feel something, they want to go straight thing first to help. That's actually not always necessary. A lot of the things you can actually process, you and the Holy Spirit, but sometimes you get to a point where you're like, bruh, I just don't know. I just don't know how to move forward with this. And at that point, you ask for help. Like, hey, what do you see? Can you help me? I'm feeling confused about this. So it's important to do that. Here's an actual example from one of my own journals. I went through my chart, found all my emotions and things that I was feeling. Just to show you, this is what it looks like, you know. I felt feelings of shame, caution, relieved, satisfied, confident. Okay, I just gone on a weekend away. I was actually at the weekend away. It was a Sunday morning. I was journaling with the Lord and actually trying to process my emotions a little bit. And so I just want to explain to you guys, so this is kind of what it looks like. It's a big spread. We've got shame on that side and confidence on the other side, okay? So it doesn't always feel like it's one flavor. But I was feeling relieved because I'd actually made it to the weekend away, okay, after a very stressful time. I was feeling satisfied because I just slept 12 hours and I didn't feel sleep drunk or anything, you know. 9 till 9, it was great. But then I started dealing with the more complex emotions. I started to feel, I had this like feeling of shame. And I was like, I tried to understand why am I feeling like that. And it was because I felt like I was burning out a little bit. It had been, things had been crazy, but I was like, actually, I know better. That's the thoughts at the end of this. Like, I know I should be pacing myself differently. I shouldn't be getting to this place where I'm feeling all wrecked. And as I was, you know, engaging with that, I felt the Holy Spirit come to me and say, okay, but also, Matt, a little bit of perspective. Over the last 3 months, you've had to find a new place to live. You've had to pack up your house. You've had to move to a new house. You've had to unpack your house. And during all of that, work has been absolutely crazy. So it's not been your normal rhythm. It's not been the normal place of how life has been. And I felt God's grace and his kindness come to me in that moment. And that feeling of shame, I could actually let that go. And for a troubled reflector, like if you're a shallow coper, you're like, what's the big deal? If you're a troubled reflector, to go like, wow, I would have been sitting with that for like weeks. You know, to actually just in that moment let it go was freedom. And then confidence on the other side seems like a very positive emotion. But I was feeling this confidence and something was feeling wrong about it for me. And as I unpacked it with the Lord, I realized I took up a new sport earlier on in this year. Okay, if you have had more than a 3-minute conversation with me, you probably know that I've taken up climbing. I really enjoy it. But what happened with it was like, you improve really quickly, and then your body can do things you never knew you could do, and it's all this crazy stuff. And I started to feel this confidence of, like, I can do things, I can tackle problems, but my confidence started to become in my abilities and what I could do. And I'm like, oh, gosh, actually I realized my identity is shifting off being confident in the fact that Jesus loves me, that Jesus is my everything, that he has got me, he's holding me together. We're shifting off that onto my abilities, what I could do. So obviously, even though it seems like a positive emotion, in that point, I have to repent and turn here. So I did. Okay, then there's some more complex emotions that we deal with sometimes that people might be a little bit scared to engage with. Let's talk about guilt for a second. I think that guilt is actually, the purpose of it is for reconciliation. We feel bad because we've done something wrong. And firstly, that should draw us back to Jesus. But sometimes it also draws us to have conversations with people and to make right with them. So guilt is not something that you should ignore. It's a very uncomfortable feeling that should draw you to deal with it. Okay, not to ignore sin, not to ignore relational breakdown, but to do something about it. Anger is an emotion that I think a lot of guys will feel. But what's important to know about anger is that it often masks a couple of other emotions, things like feeling hurt, things like feeling scared. Anger is the emotion that will come out first for a guy when actually maybe he's feeling something different on the inside. And so for the guys to actually, if you are feeling angry, cool, but then go a couple layers deeper. Why am I actually feeling angry? Oh, I'm actually scared that this is going to happen. And then the things that you feel give you validation or invalidation, or in your mind validate or invalidate other people, okay? Is it what's based on scripture? Is it identity in God? Or is it just worldly things? Is it career or money or fashion or whatever, any of those things? It's important to see that for yourself, to shift your own identity, but also for your relationships with others. Then the last one here is grief and pain. Now, this was something that I felt was on the Lord's heart. It's actually that Jesus is not just our Lord, he's also our comforter. And in life, we actually, sometimes we go through some crazy stuff, and we go through some incredibly, incredibly painful things. You know, people in our families die, or things get lost, or all sorts of things happen. But God actually has comfort for us in that space. So we don't have to go to a whole bunch of other weird coping mechanisms and things like that. You can actually come to Jesus and find comfort in him. It says in Matthew 5, verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." That's actually God's promise for us. For the shallow copers, you got to mourn in order to be comforted. Okay, you got to engage with that pain a bit in order to find the comfort. For the troubled reflectors, yes, you'll mourn, but take hold of God's comfort, okay? Move into that and take hold of what he's given to you. It says in Psalm 34, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit." And 2 Corinthians says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves have been comforted by God." So if you've ever been in a situation like, where, I don't know, you've been through something, you've experienced God's comfort, you can even give that to other people, you know? And if you've been through something and you've prayed with someone who's been through the same situation, you know what that's like. Like, yeah, this person knows what I've been through. And remember at the end of the day that Jesus actually knows what we've been through. It says in Isaiah that he was well acquainted with grief. He knew sorrow. And so he's able to actually engage with us on that level with what we've been through, and comfort us and heal our hearts and give us strength and all of those things. So for some people, you might be going, no, we're putting too much emphasis on emotion. Some guys might be saying it's not enough emphasis on emotion. What we're trying to do is find the right way to handle this part of our human experience. So the challenge for you guys, it's my last slide here. The challenge is to actually process your emotions with the Lord. Do it on a regular basis. I do it once a week. Any more would be too much navel gazing for me. Any less, I start to get the background noise. It's more like a cloud for me because I'm a troubled reflector. It's like I can't see anything else. I have this like tint over my eyes. You know, everything's blue. So I do it on a weekly basis. But to spend some time being raw and real and honest with the Lord, going with, what am I actually feeling right now? What's the thought behind this? What is the Holy Spirit and the Word saying? So this is where the renewing of the mind is. The Holy Spirit's now coming into the situation. And how do I respond to this? So that is the challenge of how to process your emotions with the Lord. So, you know, what I feel for this in terms of responses, maybe the Lord wants to do something with some people here. I don't know what Luke is feeling, but part of the response of this is not necessarily a power moment on a Sunday, but something that you take into your daily and weekly life to, like, I want to keep short accounts with the Lord. I want to keep short accounts with people and let him carry on refining and doing what he wants to in my heart so that on the inside, I look more like Jesus. And that influences who I am as a person on the outside.